Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline, of course, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and of course, Twitch.tv. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hey, wherever the hell you are in the world, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show in this right, 40 plus years now, knocking out all bumps. What can I say? I'm an award-winning writer. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, so I sort of have a unique perspective on boxing. But guess what? You're the average boxing fan. You want to weigh in, you can. Here's the toll-free all around the planet. You can hit me up on the toll-free phone line, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-752. Of course, Tyson Fury retires. Who cares? I mean, who really cares? The fat gypsy, the traveler, call him what you want. Bottom line is, he was a con man from the start. Of course, 6'9", biggest heavyweight champion in the history of boxing. Of course, if I was 6'9", I'd still be knocking, at my advanced age, I'd still be knocking people dead. I just would. 6'9", oh my God, I can't believe anybody could beat a guy that's 6'9". A 6'9-inch guy that could box a little bit, and he could box both ways, both southpaw and orthodox. But guess what? Oleg Usyk beat him twice. Oleg Usyk, of course, being hailed now as the next great heavyweight champ. I don't know. Maybe it was a bad era. I mean, think about this. You got guys like with Andy Ruiz. At one point in time, Andy Ruiz or Anti Luis, call him what you want. The Frito Bandito, of course, the Mexican 350-pound guy. I mean, come on, man. Guy came into the ring at over 300 pounds to defend his world heavyweight championship. I mean, what was he thinking about at the taco truck? Not the heavyweight championship. Obviously, the tacos with extra salsa. Come on. He came in at 283 pounds, walked in the ring at over 300 pounds. That was the way. When you're defending the world heavyweight championship, I mean, how? You're supposed to be proud. You're supposed to be like, man, I'm the man, this and that. The guy went and got fat, did a lot of cocaine, and drank a lot of booze, this and that. Listen, him losing, getting knocked out, I would like to see him get drilled. Am I an anti-Andy Ruiz guy? Yes, I am. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Anthony Joshua, come on, man. Him and Tyson Fury, you know that fight's going to happen. So Tyson Fury's retirement, the fourth retirement, is invalid. Straight up, I wish he would just go away. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Telephone man, bad connection. And I'm half
coming back with the Average White Band. Of course, they are retired. They retired a couple of weeks ago. Actually, one of their last shows was the, I think it was November 19th in Oakland, California, Yoshi. Of course, I was there for both nights. Of course, the lead singer, Brent Carter, formerly with Tower of Power, has announced he's signing with another band. But the dude won't tell me what band it is. Now, let me tell you. He says it's a bigger band than Tower of Power, a bigger band than the Average White Band. So I'm thinking, Earth, Wind & Fire? He said, no, it's not Earth, Wind & Fire. I can't. Sock, you got any idea? Sock's too young. But Sock, you got any idea of a bigger soul band than Tower of Power, an Average White Band that Brent Carter could be going to?
Listen, I learned about Tower of Power through you. As soon as you were having me on, I know you'd always play their music, and there was a gentleman that used to have on. He used to come on the show. So I got put on to Tower of Power because of you. Earth, Wind & Fire, of course, I know them. But I can't think of really anyone else, that era.
Neither can I. Straight up, you are tuning Ring Talk Live Worldwide, not soul music talk, but... The sport of boxing is still a little bit slow at this point in time. Of course, Tyson Fury retires for the fifth time now. I think he's retired four times in the past. One time when he retired, he weighed like 350 pounds, almost 400 pounds. I mean, he was gross. He was out of shape. He had a big old belly. He was doing cocaine. He was depressed. He was drinking the whole nine yards. What's changed with Tyson Fury between that retirement and this one, Sock?
Well, his bank account, that's probably number one. I mean, he's made... I can't even fathom. He must have made about $300 million in his career, I would guess, between the Wilder fights and then the Usyk fight. So that's number one. He's got more kids and father time. I hope it's legit, the retirement. I thought he had a good run. He was good for boxing. You could also make an argument he could have been better. But he was a shot in the arm, He brought some life to the heavyweight division, although he wasn't as active as I probably would have liked to
have seen. But you do realize if I was 6'9", I'd still be knocking duckers dead. I'd still be knocking them dead. 6'9", my Lord, man. How do you lose to anybody that's, considerably smaller than you? And he did it because of the fact, was it age or was Usyk that much of a superior boxer?
I think a little bit of both. But I also believe that Usyk is fully, he's a heavyweight now. His body is a full heavyweight. He took a couple of good shots from Tyson Fury, and he obviously held up his own. I think Usyk is a special fighter. He didn't lose to just some schmo. He's a generational type of fighter. I think that Usyk is competitive against anybody in any era. I'm not saying he beats him, but I don't think he gets embarrassed by anybody. You know, I think he's got skills. And I think Tyson Fury realized that he couldn't, he had no plan B, you know, in that second fight. You know, he fought better than he did in the first fight, but he looked slow. He looked, there were moments he couldn't pull the trigger. He was holding for no reason. And, you know, I hope it's for good.
Question for you. One of your New York guys was coming back, Joe Smith Jr., 28-5, 22 KOs. What was his claim to fame? He comes to us from Long Island. Remind the audience.
Well, he made Bernard Hopkins eat his words when he said he wouldn't lose to the white boy, and he got knocked out into the first row in Atlantic City. So that's probably what put him put him on the map, at least on the national scene. But Joe Smith is a tough, you know, gritty dude from Long Island. He's never in a boring fight. He got demolished by Beterbiev, but then again, most people do. But Joe's a lunch pail guy. You know, he's a construction worker by day, and he's good for the sport. You know, I hope he gets another shot at a big fight.
Okay, question for you. Oliver McCall, former WBC heavyweight title holder one time, it's been 30 years since he had the mental breakdown in the ring there and sort of like just freaked out. I didn't know what he was doing. Bottom line is he's got some issues, of course. 30 years after that, of course, he also was a guy that he had a big check in his pocket, and he left I don't know what this is. Leon Spinks, Leon Spinks left a sock, or had a check in his sock for like $1 million. Anyway, these guys have these checks and they put them in their socks or their underwear, this thing, and leave them in hotel rooms. Anyway, bottom line is Oliver McCall, 30 years removed from that, is going to fight again, I believe, in Kentucky. Of course, they're doing these fights in Kentucky. I think it's Kentucky. But the bottom line is I'm not into this, and I tried to talk to Jimmy Adams about it. No, Nashville, Tennessee. I tried to talk to Jimmy Adams, promoter, about it. I mean, I sort of like tried to air my opinion via social media. I said, you know, Oliver McCall is 51 years old. He's got mental problems, or he had mental problems 30 years ago. I mean, what positive could we get out of him getting hit on the head at the age of 51? What can come out of that that's positive? And Jimmy said to me, oh, man, don't be telling me this, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Jimmy's just trying to make some money. That's true. I don't think it's cool. I don't think that's cool at all. Did I go off too long there?
No. Listen, I'm in the same boat because, I mean, if you think about it, what's the end game here? You know, I mean, you know, I understand it's hard for a lot of these fighters to transition into civilian life because, I mean, that's all you know. This, you know, like a, you know, you're like a plumber or an electrician or, you know, a carpenter. This is your skill. You're a professional fighter. But at 51 years old, you know, what do you look, you know, it can only end wrong. You know, I mean, yeah, the average guy, if you keep himself in shape, you could beat a lot of schmoes, you know, especially in that southern region, right? You know,
I saw the guy he's fighting. Now, no knock on Daniel, but he looks like a fat, pudgy Daniel. I mean, he just does. Daniel's my producer, but he just does. He looks like they took Daniel and inflated him with, you know, air. That's just what it looks like. I mean, you know, I understand he's not going to be fighting much, and they're trying to as much as they can not to get him hurt this and that. But I just don't think I can't think of anything positive to come out of this. I mean, maybe he needs therapy this and that, but fighting in a ring is not therapy for a 51-year-old man that's been shot 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, obviously...
Don King wouldn't bring him back. Don King would dig up anybody. Let me tell you, Don King is one of those guys. He's got one of the greatest shovels in your magic. And he dug up Muhammad Ali for that Larry Holmes fight. He went and told Ali, he goes, listen, man, I'm going to give you $8 million. He gave Ali $4 million. Told Ali, listen, I owe you the $4 million. Ali said, get me another title fight. You can keep the $4 million. So what did King do? King went and got him a fight in Jamaica, I think in Kingston, Jamaica, against Trevor Burbick. Of course, he lost every round against Trevor Burbick. That was the end of Muhammad Ali. And the $4 million. Well, guess what? He never got it. So Don King's good. Don King can find guys in graveyards that you can imagine, man. He was a guy as far as digging up stiffs. Stiffs with good records.
Stiffs are good records. Yeah. The golden shovel.
No, him and Mike Akery. Mike Akery was even better at it. Mike Akery was the white Don King as far as the digging up bodies was concerned. I mean, he kept Roberto Duran going for years. Roberto was fighting guys like Olivia's Kid and Daniel. I mean, people. I mean, he was fighting all kinds of Duran was like making appearances. He wasn't fighting, but he was making appearances, and they were making money on it. But the bottom line is, of course, that was then and this is now. Speaking of Duran, I rank him the greatest fighter of all time. What do you think?
I'm right with you. I mean, you look at the body of work, a man that jumped from lightweight all the way to welterweight and beat the best welterweight in the world. What else do you have to say? You know, Roberto Duran, and then still, you know, at 36, beating a Ram Barkley. Like, if they stood next to each other in the street and people had no idea who either one was, who do you think most people would pick to win in a fist fight?
Listen, wait. At the first round, I was sitting there, we were all shaking before the fight. It was like, you know, maybe 15 or 20 of us that flew out from the West Coast together. Or we all got together in Atlantic City. Anyway, we're watching this fight, and we're saying to us, just like the Hagler fight. We're freaking out. We're freaking out the first few rounds. I mean, come on, man. This guy knocked out Tommy Hearns. Tommy Hearns knocked out Roberto Duran. I mean, of course, Duran was fat and fat as a pig that day. But the bottom, and unprepared. But the bottom line is he would have got knocked out by Tommy in any day. Styles make fights, and Tommy had the style to beat Roberto Duran as much he did in the same way he destroyed Pepino Cuevas. But, oh, you know, somebody asked me the other day about Hearns. And they said, did Hearns have a glass jaw? And I didn't know how to get respond at first because he didn't have a glass jaw. He only got knocked out by a couple of guys, and when you get hit clean on the chin, no matter how big you are, sometimes you just can't take it.
Right, and the Leonard knockout was more of he was exhausted and Ray, you know, body starts.
Are you ready for this? We're going to blame Emmanuel Stewart on that fight. You know why?
I think I know why, but go ahead.
Emmanuel Stewart brought him in at 145 pounds. There was 2 pounds under the welterweight limit. That wasn't cool because he was dying, sweating upstairs in the shower at Caesar's Palace in the bathtub. That kind of goes up with the steam. So he took off 2 pounds he didn't need to, and that was critical. And he sent him out there with the wrong game plan. He sent him out there to outbox Ray Leonard, much like Marvin Hagler tried to outbox Ray Leonard. I mean, if you're getting to a painting contest with Leonardo da Vinci, you're not going to beat him. So you don't try to.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's egos. You know, like yeah, you think you're a boxer. I'm going to show you I could box just as much. Look, you got to dance with the girl that brought you, you know, to the party. And Tommy was a killer. He was a destroyer, and he was not able to impose his will on Ray.
I'll never forget though, man. In that second fight, Tommy Hearns beat Ray's ass. Of course, that was they called it a draw after 12 rounds. But it was June of 1989. Of course, I was in camp for 2 weeks with Ray down there in West Palm Beach, Florida. I thought he was in the best shape of his life. But the bottom line is, size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. And that day, Tommy Hearns was like three sizes bigger than Ray Leonard. Straight up, this is Ring Talk. More with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, Make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Pedro offers you his protection.
The computers around here, they don't work the way we want them to work. Actually, they don't work sometimes. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, I'm on the West Coast. On the East Coast, of course, is Boxing's PhD coming to us from the Bronx. None other than Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. And Sock, I got to ask you a couple questions. Straight up, you know, I was coming in this morning. Oh, I want to say this. I was driving in today, and I saw a guy that I used to produce this show. I want to bring this up. This is pretty heavy, and I think Saki can laugh about this one. So the guy's name is Jeff. I'll just say his first name is Jeff, because if I said his last name, people will know who he is. So anyway, he used to produce the show back at KMBR and when it was in syndication, and then he was with me at KMBR. Then he left me, and he went to me with we were down the street on Vallejo Street in a different studio, bottom line, a different network. So anyway, I gave him about $600 to go out and get some reservations for Las Vegas, and he was supposed to buy airline tickets and this kind of stuff and make hotel reservations, all that kind of stuff, because he was a producer. He wanted to be a full-time producer. I said, this is what producers do. He said, okay. So when I gave him $600 or $700, he went out there. He snorted the $600 or $700, okay? Turns out he had a coke problem. He snorted all the cocaine money, all the Las Vegas ticket money, and he realizes, you know, the trip is like a week away, and I'm going to, you know, break his neck if I find out, right? So he goes to my number one sponsor. He goes to my sponsor, Boxing Historian Ron Marshall, and he goes to Ron, and he borrows the money from Ron somehow. He finagles the money from Ron Marshall, so Ron Marshall ends up paying him. So then about a month later, Ron Marshall said to me, hey, guess what? Your producer owes me $700. I never figured it out. Anyway, thank God I've got honest guys like Daniel. No, Daniel's on the payroll. Daniel takes no bribes, no stuff. But Jeff, I won't mention his last name, Jeff G, put it to you like that. That was pretty sad, folks. It was. But I had to bring that up because I saw him on the way in today. And anyway, Sock, he had a blow. He snorted up $600 worth of cocaine in a day.
Wow. What year was that?
About 2001. That's a lot of cocaine. I mean, back then, I think it was 150 for an eighth or something like back then. So he had pretty close to an ounce there. Bottom line is, what a piece of work. But I saw him this morning. And here's what's up. I would have ran into him if I could with my car. You know, this is the way, I mean, I would have. I mean, come on, man. And I end up eating some of that $800 debt to Ron Marshall because I had to pay him. I mean, he goes, he was your producer. I said, but you gave him some money. He goes, yeah, but he said that he was calling me based on you. I said, what do you mean he's calling me based on me? He goes, yeah, you know, I wouldn't have dealt with him if he wasn't your producer. I said, that has nothing to do with you giving him money. Anyway, I had to pay his own debt. Piece of work. Not a whole lot coming up in the world of boxing. Of course, a big fight, the 1st of February, David Benavidez and David Morrell, the Battle of the Davids. And you're still picking Morrell, right?
No, I'm picking Benavidez.
Oh, okay.
I think Tommy D's rolling with Morrell. I'm going with Benavidez.
Tommy D, of course, Sir Thomas Dillamuth, and I have to say Sir Thomas Dillamuth, or his agent will be on the phone. Every time I mention his name on the air, you have to say Sir Thomas. If you don't, she gets upset. She has a little checklist, and she sends me this link. So she checked four times. She didn't call him Sir Thomas Dillamuth. Okay, okay. Or the king. She wants me to call him the king, so I can't call him the king because we only got one king around here, and, of course, that's Daniel. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But Benavidez, unbeaten, 29-0, I believe, and Morrell, unbeaten, like 11-0, 12-0. When you look at their work, I mean, David's got so much more on the plate. He's accomplished so much more. He's had so many more rounds. But Morrell, is he the equal because of the fact of the extensive amateur background?
You know what? I think if you pick Morrell, it's because you like what you see when he's in the ring. I mean, he doesn't really do much wrong. I mean, and he's like a fast twitch athlete, kind of like the opposite of Benavidez, right? Benavidez is a guy that's like a plotting monster who gets better as the fight goes. Morrell is flash. He's got fast hands. You know, he's styling in that ring. Yeah, the amateur background is cool, you know, but it's not like, you know, I take it with a grain of salt because it's not the same amateur background as, let's say, back in the day in the 90s, you know, so I always take that with a grain of salt because half of those fights, you know, they count them when they're like 15, 14, 12, you know, so it's, I take that with a grain of salt and I hear these, oh, you got 300 amateur fights and whatever, who are you fighting, you know, so it's a great, intriguing fight stylistically. There's bad blood, you know, they're pushing each other, they're saying curse words that only they understand in Spanish. It's a great fight, and I expect Benavidez' experience and just that pressure to be too much for Morrell.
See, I feel that way too, but, you know, there are people, everybody I talk to is like, oh, man, Morrell. So evidently, Morrell has caught the eye of the average boxing fan. I just think when you look at the fact that, you know, Benavidez has been 28-0, and of course, he's never looked really horrible or anything like that. He never looked bad. I mean, there's no fights you can say, but, oh, man, the other guy robbed or anything like that. All of his wins are legit. And, you know, we know that Canelo ran from him for at least 3 years. That still kicks my ass. That's the biggest insult in the history of boxing, the biggest duck. That's what Paulie Malignaggi says. I agree.
Hey, I think until that fight happens, you know, we know Canelo's going to Canastota. But somebody in that press conference, when he's accepting that plaque, is going to say, hey, how come you never fought Benavidez? You know, if it doesn't happen. You know,
they don't call Leila Ali out. I'm the last one to call Leila out, and that was like 2004 in Washington, D.C. Why don't you fight Ann Wolfe? She goes, who? That's sort of like I said it 1,000 times. It's like asking her father, who's Joe Frazier? Or having her father say to me, who's Joe Frazier?
Leila, you know, hey, you know, some people, you got to choose your battles wisely, right? And so Leila turned into an owl that day when you asked her who Ann Wolfe is. Ann Wolfe was a bad, bad lady. I mean, the female Mike Tyson. That's the best way I could describe her. You know, someone asked if I'm, you know, someone asked me who's Ann Wolfe. I say she's Mike Tyson with dreads.
Yeah, she can train guys. I mean, she trains guys, yeah. And she spars with the guys she trains with. Imagine that, getting your ass kicked by your trainer. And she's a chick.
Once James Kirkland left her.
What?
He became...
Once James Kirkland, he was done.
Yeah, he couldn't take Ann Wolfe. You know, he made a little bit of money. He thought he was as good as what he was hyped up to be. And then he got washed by some Japanese Mexican. I can't remember his name. You know, so...
Okay, I want to mention the International Black Federation. I mean, the International Boxing Federation, of course, started by Bob Lee when Bob Lee said that black fighters couldn't get a break because the WBC was pro-Mexican, really, and, of course, the WBA was pro-South American, really. Anyway, bottom line is the IBF has ordered Silvio Matias and Gabriel Valenzuela, ranked number 5 and 6, respectively, in the IBF junior welterweight rankings, to begin negotiations for a fight for the number 1 position. You know... I thought at one point in time Matias was really going to be the guy. What happened to him?
Maybe the press clippings, you know, blinded him. He started believing his own hype. Liam Parrell, who got beat pretty handily, you know, by Hitchens, by Richardson Hitchens a while ago. I don't know. I guess just stylistically, Parrell was just a bad style. And Valenzuela may be just as bad, too.
Final question for you before I let you go, because this is probably going to take some while. The Turkey guy, whatever his name is, the guy from Saudi Arabia, the Turk, the promoter, the guy with all the money, the big checkbook. Anyway, he says that he wants to make fights like Dana White. He's tired of making fights with guys that want to just survive and this and that. He wants to make fights like Dana White. In other words, the best fighting the best, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He could probably get that done, huh?
I mean, right now, if you want to make obscene amounts of money,
obnoxious,
you see Turkey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's the man right now. You know, he's calling the shots. They had this big convention last week, the Ring magazine, which he now owns. He's a shot in the arm, you know, and boxing needs that. You hope that some of the best fighters are actually more active. I mean, it's a joke, you know, guys like Tank Davis, not fighting is not good for the sport.
He's fighting Jose Mazzervi now. It looks like Jose's stepping in for that one.
Jose Mazzervi.
Who's Jose Mazzervi? That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's Olivia's kid. What I'm trying to tell you is that that's, I mean, and Shakur Stevens is going to fight Schofield on that card in Saudi Arabia, the 22nd, of course, on February, that pay-per-view card. I mean, listen, I need Viagra for these fights, for that one especially. Anything involving Shakur.
Well, you know what? I think that Shakur has heard, you know, the noise. You know, he's sensitive, right? No, everyone wants to be liked, you know, and he's gotten it from so many angles, from the boxing media, from the casual media, you know, getting clowned by rappers. I think Shakur's going to do his thing in February.
All right. Socrates, have a great week, man. Hug the wife. Hug the kids. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my brother. Have a great weekend.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, appearing exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I used to love hot days. Anything that's bad for a pitcher, I liked.
That is my buddy, Pete Rose. When I say my buddy, we used to hang out at fights together. We'd be at Don King shows. Of course, he was like Don King's ambassador for a while because he was getting all kinds of bad publicity towards Pete Rose, of course, betting on baseball and things like that. That sort of brought him some heat. Heat that, of course, stays with him until after his death. But the bottom line is we had some fun together. I mean, he used to talk about hitting pitchers. He said that Don Sutton he could hit with his eyes closed. He said Juan Marichal of the Giants he thought was the best. And that Bob Gibson, that every time he stepped in against Bob Gibson, that he was afraid Bob Gibson would break his arm. Bob Gibson broke about three or four guys' arms with pitches, and Bob Gibson did it on purpose. So that was my Pete Rose story. And the time I took a picture of him next to 7'2", then WBA heavyweight title holder Nikolai Valuyev, this big Russian. I wasn't say fat, but big Russian, okay? 7'2", something like that. Him and Pete Rose side by side. Pete Rose was a class act. We had a good time together. And never did any booze, never had any drinks or anything like that. I never watched him drink. He seemed to be really clear and lucid at all his events, and I really miss him. He was a good guy to be around as far as the sport of boxing was concerned. Speaking of boxing, coming back, of course, the first with Morell and Benavidez. I'm picking Benavidez. Of course, Benavidez is now 29-0. I think he'll roll to 30-0. I think he will stop David Morell. I'm going to predict it right now. Why not go out on a limb? Anyway, go out on a limb. You can saw it off later. Anyway, 22nd of February, of course, down there in Saudi Arabia, the Turkish guy, the Saudi Arabian king's doing his thing. Artur Bitabev, undefeated now, 20-0, 19 knockouts, coming off the 12-round win over Dmitry Bivol. They're going to do a rematch. Of course, Bivol, the once-beaten former WBA 175-pound champion, just for the undisputed light heavyweight title. I saw it once. I don't need to see it again. I mean, come on, man. Come on, just don't. Anyway, bottom line is the aforementioned Shakur Stevenson taking on a smaller guy in Floyd Schofield. I think Floyd Schofield's stepping up from 130 pounds. These guys will be fighting for the WBC 135-pound championship. We just talked about Shakur just a couple of minutes ago. Bottom line is, he does nothing for me. Daniel Dubois, the IBF heavyweight title. When I say the IBF, the International Black Federation, call it what you want. Bottom line is, Daniel Dubois is their champion. He's taking on Joseph Parker. This is probably the most intriguing fight I've seen come along in a long time. I mean, these other fights, big deal. I mean, you figure Bitabev is going to beat Dmitry Bivol again. Shakur is going to roll over Schofield. So those two fights are a bit of a wash, okay? But Danny Dubois and Joseph Parker, that's a fight that's a little bit up in the air. Of course, Dubois, people thought he had a bad chin because he'd been knocked out. Listen, when you're in heavyweight, and you're taking shots in the preliminary fights and in mid-level cards and this kind of stuff, if you take a shot there, you've got a decent chin, okay? If you take a shot from a heavyweight fighter, a full-force heavyweight fighter. I mean, it's almost inhuman not to go down. I mean, think about that. I told you about the only guy that was ever able to knock down Larry Holmes with a shot that Larry could see coming. Because I told you, when I got knocked down, I got knocked down a few times. Anyway, when I got knocked down, I never saw the punch coming. I never saw it. Never, ever, ever. Boom! There were hooks. Boom! Right hooks and left hooks. Different fights. Anyway, but the bottom line is I didn't see him coming. Okay, but Larry Holmes told me that when you saw Ernie Shaver threw that right hand, you saw it coming. Even though you saw it coming, it still knocked you down. That's how forceful it was. So anyway, bottom line is he probably the most powerful fighter in the history of heavyweight boxing. I'm talking about Ernie Shaver. Of course, we got to interview Ernie. Maybe we'll run it in a couple of weeks. But the bottom line is we sort of dig this up every 6 or 7 months and play the Ernie Shaver's interview. But he was a good guy, very humble. I think CTE got to him, of course, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's the AK punch drunk. Call it what you want. But the bottom line is it ain't good. Danny Dubois, Joseph Parker. Battle of heavyweights for the IBF heavyweight title held by Danny Dubois. Of course, Joseph Parker, the former WBO title holder, coming to us from Australia, New Zealand down there. Of course, good fighter, no doubt about that. Of course, came alive and showed us some good things of late. And I think that Joseph Parker and Danny Dubois is a bit of a toss-up here. So you can tell it's good because the rest of this fight, Carl, I'll go through it for you. I don't know if it's the greatest card in the world, but the bottom line is that is an intriguing fight, and that's worth stealing alone. I mean, that's worth paying for alone. Of course, talk about pay-per-view now. Everybody buys a pay-per-view. I know all these people listen to my voice now, Daniel included. Of course, they were part of the 1.5 million Americans who bought the Oleg Usyk Tyson Fury rematch on pay-per-view. I know they did because that's They've got to be. Anyway, bottom line, right? Yeah. Anyway, Daniel Bond, Joseph Parker, best fight on the card, I think. But there's a couple other good fights as well. Of course, that's for the IBF heavyweight title holder. IBF heavyweight title. I would call this a coin toss. So I don't know. When you flip a coin, who's going to win? I have no idea. Heads, tails, Joseph Parker, Danny Dubois. You tell me. Carlos Adamas versus Hamza Shariz for the WBC middleweight title. Adamas doesn't do a whole lot for me. I'm not saying I need Viagra to watch him, but he doesn't do a whole lot for me. But a guy that used to do a whole lot for me. Wow. Virgil Ortiz Jr., what is he, like 20-0 now and got like 18 knockouts, something like that. He was really, he was rolling there as a welterweight. Of course, had some weight issues, might have been brought on by, Flintstone vitamins, little PEDs, that kind of stuff. We don't know what happened there because the bottom line is, you know, he had problems making weight and he had some issues as far as the blood was concerned. And, you know, it's stuff that young guys don't have unless maybe they're taking something. Unless perhaps they're taking something they shouldn't be taking. Anyway, put it to you like that. But Virgil Ortiz suffered in that last fight. I mean, he barely won that last fight. And, you know, he was like scrambled after the fight, walking around the arena. He was so bad, he looked like he needed a, you know, when you have a blind person, you lead him around by an arm. That's how bad Virgil Ortiz was. That's how out of it he was. He was concussed. He was out of it. And yet, Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya, those guys let him run around the arena by himself. Anyway, he's going to take on Israel Madrimov. Of course, that was the guy, I believe, that tangled with Terrence Crawford last time out. This is for the WBC, interim WBC super middleweight, super welterweight title, 154 pounds. Also on the card, a guy that we had on the show, like, I guess a year ago, Joshua Botsy. He's a light heavyweight or cruiserweight coming to us from the UK. He's taking on Callum Smith for the WBO interim heavyweight, light heavyweight title. Of course, also on the card, and this is a battle of really, really good heavyweights. This is a good, good fight. This opens up the card, I think, as far as the pay-per-view card is concerned. But the WBC interim title, interim heavyweight title, why are they all interim titles? Why don't you just have one champion? Why do you need interim champions? You don't. In fact, the Association of Boxing Commissions stepped in a couple of years ago when they had Juice. I don't know what happened to them. They were like the governing body as far as professional boxing was concerned in the United States. But they jumped in and said, so WBA, they were going to like strip them of any recognition for having all these interim champions. In other words, you have one heavyweight champion, right? Then they got another heavyweight. Then they got three heavyweight champions. How do you have the same company, the same group? But that was a bit of a scam. So now I think it's a bit of a scam with the WBC trying to put together all these interim titles, the WBO as well. Of course, WBC interim title at 154, WBC interim title at heavyweight. Come on, man. Give me WBO interim title at light heavyweight. Come on, give me a break. These guys should be fighting for championships, or they should be the number one or two contenders going against each other. Anyway, Joshua Botsy and Callum Smith at 175 pounds. Zil Zhang, of course, the Chinese guy, 6'8", 6'9", something like that, of course, comes to us from 6'5". Comes to us, of course, from China. That's pretty cool over there. I would love to go to a fight in China. I did the first professional boxing match ever in the history of China. Take that back. Probably not the first fight, but the first fight since 1949 in the communist takeover of Mao Zedong. I went over there with Muhammad Ali. We were kicking ass. We had a good time. We went over there in 1993. We had a card called the Brawl to Wall in February of 1993. I met the president right then and there, of course, the president of China. And he was pretty cool as well. I mean, he didn't say a whole lot to me, but he and Ali, you know, had exchange pictures, that kind of good stuff. It was more of a photo op than anything else. But the bottom line is, the Chinese treated us good. And I didn't think that, I mean, even though we had 18,000 people at the arena there in Beijing, China, I didn't think that it was going to be a hip thing. I didn't think the boxing was coming along. But then again, the government sort of loosened up, and then professional boxing started happening. And this guy, Zil Zhang, he burst on the scene as a heavyweight of note. Of course, he's taking on the undefeated Ajit Kayabel. Now, Kayabel's supposedly a guy that can really roll as well. So these guys, between the two of them, I think Zil's lost one or two fights. Of course, one fight was a rip-off. Well, he lost the other fight legitimately. But the bottom line is, Double Z's taking on Ajit Kayabel, and I think this is going to be the fight of fights as far as two heavyweight fights on this card are really going to make the mark. Dubois and Parker, and Zil Zhang and Ajit Kayabel. Straight up, I think that's what's happening. And the aforementioned Gervonta Davis still supposed to take on Lamont Roach. Of course, is it Lamont Roach or is it Freddie Roach? I don't know. Freddie Roach got Parkinson's disease. Maybe Gervonta Davis wants to fight Freddie Roach instead of Lamont Roach because he keeps fighting all these stiffs. He doesn't want to fight anybody real. In fact, as the WBA 135-pound champion, he's never fought another champion or somebody that's ranked number one. I mean, come on, man. How can you pull this bit off? How can you do this? How can it happen? How can it happen? How's it continue to happen? Like, Benavidez being ducked for 3 years by Canelo Alvarez. I mean, Canelo stinks. People don't realize that. He stinks. I mean, you know, like a bad outhouse. I kid you not. And you know what? You give him a pass because he's a Mexican superstar. I don't think so. I think he's faded. In fact, I'm going to call it right now. Him and Terrence Crawford, the Sheik is trying to put this fight together. I think Crawford's going to beat him. I'd say he isn't going to beat him. I'd say it's 3-1 Canelo. More power to him. Let's go 4-1. I think that. How can I put this? The black guy, the black street fighter in Terrence Crawford that has the boxing skills, that'll be enough to make him come prevail over Canelo Alvarez. I think size knows matters in a couple of things, pornography and combat sports. But in this instance, I think size will be outdone by speed and actual boxing skill. Because Canelo, although he's looked really good, picturesque in some fights, I don't think he's all that good of a fighter. I mean, yeah. He's got the numbers. He's done things at 154. He's done things at 160. He's done things at 168. He had a minute there at 175. Of course, went back down to 168. Of course, I think he's a 160-pounder, but a 168-pounder, maybe I think he's a 160-pounder fighting with 8 excess pounds on him, so he should be fighting at 160. He doesn't want to fight Benavidez because he's going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree, but I got to give him all kinds of props for being able to make money, because when he does fight Terrence Crawford, he's going to get like $100 or $150 million. I mean, this is unreal money for these guys. Now, Muhammad Ali, of course, his highest purse ever, I think, was $8 million, only got 4 of that. Think about that. So back in the days when Ali was he was a guy who was making all the money, making the big box office draw. He got $8 million, and now these guys are getting $150 million. I don't even talk about top of box. Anyway, Javante Davis and Freddie Roach, take that back. Lamont Roach going the 1st of March on pay-per-view. Steal that one, too. Of course, March 15th, Nick Ball. My favorite guy, Nick Ball, of course, the WBA featherweight champion. Nick Ball's a hell of a guy. I mean, he comes to fight every time. He isn't the most powerful guy in the world, but he makes up for it with grit and determination. He just does. I mean, he just does. So Nick Ball's going to take on T.J. Dumoulin. That's going to go down on the 15th of March on ESPN+ for the WBA featherweight title. He is a good fighter, no doubt about that. Now, a couple things I want to talk about. I was coming in this morning, and I heard all this noise on Grand Avenue, where I live in South San Francisco. Ooh, did I say that? Anyway, I heard all this noise. I said, what's all this noise? It's a big demonstration. And all these people are protesting Planned Parenthood. I mean, come on, man. Let me tell you like this. When I was growing up in post-puberty, when you had girlfriends and this and that, you were young, this and that, Planned Parenthood was a place that girls went for birth control. Planned Parenthood was a place that you went if you were to catch something that was uncool and this kind of stuff. Planned Parenthood was there. I mean, Planned Parenthood saved millions, I think millions of lives. It just did. And now people are protesting this back in 2025, closing down my street there. Come on, man. I should have ran you over, but I didn't. Straight up, that's a little bit. Hey, don't you think that's a little bit weird? I mean, talking about 19... And that was 1972, when they legalized abortion. And now abortion is not legal in some states. And, of course, I think it has a woman's right to choose. And I'm not trying to say that birth control should people should practice birth control by way of abortion. I'm not saying that whatsoever. What I'm trying to tell you is that, some women get in a position where they get pregnant and they've got to either, I remember one point in time, and I'll bring this up. I bring up some personal stuff here, but my mother and father got back together. My father was a piece of spit. And I spit, when I say spit, I mean spit with an H, okay? But the bottom line is, he was a creepy guy. He just was. I mean, his claim to fame was making me. I mean, that's probably it. I mean, I'm just telling you like it is, okay? So anyway, he got back together with my mother real quick. He was doing a Merchant Marine thing. He got back together with my mother, and she ended up getting pregnant. So this is like 1968. I remember she's freaking out, this and that, and everybody's freaking out. I'm a nosy guy. I'm figuring everything out, right? So anyway, she ended up having to get an abortion. She got an abortion by a lady named Howard Brown. His mother was giving abortions in a basement up on Elsie Street on Bernal Heights. So she got the abortion in the basement. I mean, we shouldn't force women to go back to basements and that kind of good stuff. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say I'm pro-abortion. What I'm trying to say is that women should have a right to choose. There's no doubt about it. And if my mother didn't have the right to choose, she said, our lives would have been a whole lot worse than it was. What do you mean, Mom? We had great lives. No doubt about that. But think about that. Another kid, she couldn't afford it. There was no money, no welfare, no food stamps, no nothing at that point in time. She'd have been on her own. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Not Family Talk.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? today, we urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I do apologize for offending anyone.
No, I don't. I never apologize for offending anyone. No, never, 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 never. Straight up, never. I never say never, but I say never. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 1-18-1990, January 18, 1990, George Foreman knocks out Jerry Cooney. Of course, in the second round, Jerry Cooney, the Great White Hope, pretty good guy, but he had a booze problem, no doubt about that. They called it the Geezers at Caesars because, of course, both in their advanced ages, but George Foreman just annihilated Jerry Cooney that night. Marlon Starling, January 9th, 1980, according to Frank, 1961, our house historian. He wins in seven rounds over Charles Noel. Of course, Noel died of brain injuries afterwards. He was knocked out in the seventh round. Of course, that fight took place in Hartford, Connecticut, which was Starling's hometown. You know, Starling had a nickname of Moochie. And I asked him one time, how'd you get the nickname Moochie? And he went off on me. I mean, he went nuts. I mean, he went, whoa, bro. I mean, you got the Magic Man. You got Moochie. How'd you get the name Moochie? He was a cheap guy. That's what it was, a cheap guy like my buddy Bobby Antonelli. Roberto Duran, January 1st, 1978 versus Esteban de Jesus, the third fight. Of course, I remember watching that with Tony Davis, the third and final fight of the chapter of the Duran de Jesus trilogy. Of course, de Jesus won the first fight, got lit up in the second fight, got lit up in the third fight. Bottom line is Roberto Duran was 2-1 on that one. Of course, Duran moved up to 147 pounds after that fight. And Tim Witherspoon, in January 17, 1986, Tim Witherspoon, a guy that floundered, he cost me so much money. I mean, I'll go on a tangent here, but Tim, when we went to Antigua, we had these millionaire investors in Antigua. All he had to do was get in shape and fight a guy that was 168 pounds. He was 220 pounds, and all he had to do was fight a guy that peaked out at 168. He couldn't do it. He couldn't be. I mean, it was a 12-round draw. I kid you not. So he cost me all kinds of money. Tim Witherspoon, not my favorite guy. Anyway, Tim Witherspoon defeated Tony Tubbs by a 15-round decision on January 17, 1986. That was in Atlanta, Georgia. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In the studio is my main man. I'm talking about Mr. Olivia's kid, old Jose Miservi. How's the painting business?
It's going good.
So I can sip on the mic.
It's going good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is the mic on for the press your red button? No, it's not. I'm not going to hear you. Bottom line is it's not on. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Jose blew the gaff. He didn't have the right microphone on. What can I say? But he didn't have the right... didn't have the right... No, the one on that side. Bottom line, he's saying, I had the right mic. Anyway, I thank him for coming in. Of course, Olivia's kid. I love Olivia. May she rest in peace. It's been a year now. But the bottom line is I want to thank Daniel Ogden. Daniel's a good guy. There's no doubt about it. Of course, I say all kinds of bad things about him. We're not on the air, but when we're on the air, I have to say all the wonderful things about him. No. He's the greatest producer in the world. I'm lucky. I'm blessed. Straight up. This has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don't forget the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I want to thank Frank1961 and Matt as well. Of course, on Twitch.tv. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.